Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our Shiur today four lines from the top of Daf Mem Tes. The Mishnah had mentioned that one shall not use as a substance for hatmona, for insulating pots, muchin bizman shehein lachin, when they are damp. The topic heading that you can see on the outside of the daf, in the margin, we have written under the nosei heading. The nosei is the topic. Lachin machmas atzmon oi machmas dover acher. When we speak about the soft materials as being damp, is it because of an inherent dampness or because they became damp from some outside source? And it's explained that if it's an inherent dampness, it will create greater heat. It will be the source of greater, more heat than if it were damp from an outside source. So our Gemara asks, Ibaya leho, lachin machmas atzmon, when the Mishnah says not to use muchin that are damp, is it when they are damp because of their inherent dampness? Oidilmo lachin machmas dover acher, or even if they happen to have become damp because of some outside source of wetness. Toshma. So we have a Tanaic source that will, in the course of the Gemara, hopefully resolve this question. The source says, Lo b'tevin, v'lo b'zogin, v'lo b'muchin, v'lo b'asovin, b'zman shehein lachin. One should not use straw nor grape debris, zogin, is after grapes are pressed into wine, there is the leftover, and the lo b'muchin, that's the soft materials, v'lo b'asovin, or grasses, when they are damp. I amris b'shemo lachin machmas dover acher, shapir, if you say that the Mishnah is understood as referring to dampness from an outside source, then things make sense. Eliyamrus lachen machmas atzmon, but if you say it's a lachen, it's dampness as a result of something inherent, muchin lachen machmas atzmon hechim mishkachas lo, how can you have a case of muchin, the soft material, soft fabrics, as being damp because of something inherent? How does where does fabric get its own dampness? So the Gemara answers, it could be an inherent dampness. Mimarto debeni atmi. Marto is wool that's pulled out from between the thighs of an animal. The animal sweats over there, so the dampness that the wool absorbs is from itself. It's from the animal itself and not from an outside source. So that it could very well be that the dampness referred to in the Mishnah, when it says, it lists the different materials not to use when they are damp, it's an inherent dampness and not dampness that they absorb from an outside source. The Gemara continues with a question. V'ha detani Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Shaya has a Tanaic source. Toimnin b'ksus yivesho b'perus yiveshin avalo b'ksus lecho v'lo b'perus lachin. One can insulate pots with clothing that are dry and peros that are dry, fruits that are dry, but not with clothing that is damp nor fruits that are damp. Now, if we're going to use as the explanation for the Mishnah and these different materials that one should not use when they are damp, and explain the dampness is inherent. Ksus lecho machmas atzma hechi mishkachas law. How do you have a situation of clothing that are inherently damp? So the Gemara answers, mimarto debeniatmi. Well, it's a wool suit that was made from the wool between the thighs of an animal, and we explained before that that could be damp inherently as a result of the animal's sweat, and they never dried out the wool, and it went on to make clothing out of it. So it's clothing that are damp because of themselves and not because of getting wet from an outside source of dampness. The Mishnah. Toimnin b'ksus u'b'peros b'kanfeyona u'b'nesoros shocharoshim u'b'neros shopishton d'ako. One can use as insulation material ksus or clothing, peros fruits. Rashi says like wheat and other legumes, they could be used as an insulation material. Kanfeyona are feathers from a dove. Nesuris shachroshin, sawdust. Nuris shalpishtan daka. This is debris that is released from combing flax reeds in the manufacture of linens. Rabbi Yehuda oser bedaka umatir begasa. Rabbi Yehuda forbids when it's fine and allows when it is coarse. The Gemara opens up with a topic that would seem totally unrelated, but we will see as we go on in the Gemara that since the Mishnah mentioned kanfeyona, the sukya that we're about to learn has a connection to the Mishnah. The topic heading on the side we've written tefillin bo'inon guf naki. In order to wear tefillin properly, one has to maintain a clean body. And number two, Elisha Baal Kenafayim. We'll see a very dramatic story involving an individual whose name was Elisha, who got a nickname as Baal Kenafayim, the Elisha, the wingman. The Gemara. Omer of Yanai, tefillin tzrichin guf noki ke Elisha Baal Kenafayim. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin properly, one has to maintain a clean body, certainly while he's wearing his tefillin, like Elisha the wingman. My he, what do you mean by a guf noki? Number one, Abaye Omar Shelo Yofiach Behen, that a person should not pass wind or let gas, as they call it, and Rova Omar Shelo Yishan Bohen. Rova says that the gufnoki is so that one does not fall asleep with his tefillin on. Rashi says Shelo Yishan Bohen Shema Yofiach O Yirek Keri. Avol Im Yochol Izoyer Shelo Yishan Bohen Kol Hagufim Nekiim Bahafocha Shichol Mahamid Atzmon. Rova says that according to Rashi, that if a person knows how to maintain himself from falling asleep with his tefillin on, from avoiding sleep, then he is capable of fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin beguf noki. The Gemara asks, "V'amai kori le baal knofayim?" Why is Elisha, who was reputed to have a clean body, why is he called the wingman? So there's an answer to this question that takes a number of lines of Gemara, hence we have a long answer marking the tuf that you see encircled at Teretz with a descending vertical dash line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Shepam achas gozra malchus romi harosho gezeira Yisrael. There was an occasion that the evil Roman Empire issued an edict against Jews, shekol haminiach tefillin yinakru es mocho. Then anyone who dons tefillin, his brain shall be skewered out of his head. V'hoya Elisha manicha v'yotzei l'shuk. And there was a gentleman, Elisha, who wore tefillin and went out into the market. Ro kazdur echor, a Roman official, saw him. Rotz miponav, rotz acharov. Upon being seen, so Elisha ran from this fellow, and this kazdor, this gladiator, started running after him. V'kevon shigia etzlo, when the gladiator caught up with Elisha, notlon meirosho v'ofson v'yado, Elisha whipped the tefillin off his head and held them in his hand. Amarlo maze biyodcha. So the Roman official asked him, "What's in your hands?" Amarlo kanfione. He says, "I have dove feathers." Poshat es yodu v'nimso kanfione. He opened his hand, and lo and behold, there were dove feathers. Lefikoch koronoso Elisha baal kanfayim. Therefore, he got the name the feather man. What's significant about the feathers of a dove than any other bird? Answer: Mishum de Amsil Knesset Yisrael Yona, because the nation of Israel is compared to a yona, to a dove. Shneimar, the pasuk in Tehillim, in describing the Klal Yisrael, says Kanfei Yona Nechpo BaKesef. And what's the point? Ma Yona Knofel Meginos Oleo. Just like the dove protects itself with its wings and its feathers, that's its means of defense against any predators. Af Yisrael mitzvos meginos alehen. So too the Jewish people protect themselves through mitzvos. Binisaurus shel charoshin. Rabbi Yehuda Oser Bedaka. Ibai Alaho. The Gemara here is focusing on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who said he prohibits the use of the fine material. Rabbi Yehuda Anasuris Shel Haroshen Koi, O Anasuris Shel Pishlan Koi. Rabbi Yehuda said that using the fine material is forbidden for Hatmona. What was he referring to? Was he referring to the sawdust mentioned in the Mishnah, fine sawdust, or was he referring to the debris from the flax reeds? Toshma, the Sanya, we have a Tanaic source which resolves the question. Rabbi Yehuda Ogner, Neuris Shel Pishton Dako Harehu Kizevel. The fine debris after combing and beating the flax reeds is like fertilizer, and that is a material that one is not to use for hatmona. Shmamino anuris shel pishton koi. Shmamino. We see that Rabbi Yehuda, when he said that the fine material is forbidden, he's referring to the fine anuris shel pishton, and not referring to the sawdust. The Mishnah continues with different materials suitable for hatmona. Toimnin b'shlochin u'metatlin o'son. One can insulate his pots with shlochin, or skins, animal skins, and they can be moved. They can be moved on Shabbos, and they're not considered muktzah because they're fit for reclining on them. B'gizei tzemer v'ein metatlin o'son. One can insulate his pots with wool shearings, but he cannot move them around. They are muksa for spinning and eventually weaving into material, into fabric. Now, if you tell us that you cannot move the Gizei Tzemer, but you can nevertheless insulate your pot with it, Ketzad hu oseh, so how is he going to remove his pot from a situation of being insulated in something, a material that you can't move? So the Mishnah answers, no telos hakisui v'hein noflos. You pick up the pot's cover and the insulating material that was covering the pot, and its cover falls by the wayside. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Omer kupa mate al tzida v'noitel. If you have a pot that's insulated in a box, and the insulation material is immediately around the pot, and it's all in a box, So you tilt the box to the sides and then take the pot out. Shemo yitov ve'eno yochol achzir. Because if you don't do that, by tilting the box, so you're enlarging the diameter of the hole that remains after you remove the pot, and you will be able to return the pot to its atmona if you should want to. Because if you don't do that, then when you take the pot out, you might not be able to put it back in, because the material which you're not allowed to move on Shabbos might fall back into the hole. The Chachomim omrim noitel umachzir. The Chachomim say, take the pot out and put it back in. The Gemara will focus on the Chachomim later on. Before we go on in the Gemara, we'll be noticing a diamond. And first, we have a topic heading that we've written on the side. Oros shel umon o balabayas im mutarin betiltu b'shabbos. Skins that are... We can't say skins that are made by an artisan, but we're talking about skins in the context of tanning them and making them into leather. So, are we talking about the skins of a professional, of an artisan, of an official tanner, or skins of any homeowner? And the question is, are they allowed to be moved on Shabbos? The structure of the Gemara features a diamond here, and we call number one, and on Omid Beis there will be a number two. And under our Mivneh heading, where you see the diamond featured, we simply noted She'elos shel oiso kvutza shel rabbonim. As we open up the Gemara, we're going to see a group of rabbis sitting around with questions posed. So just like the question here appears with these particular rabbonim that the Gemara will enumerate, the Gemara's second question, which is on Omid Beis, also has the same group of rabbonim. So the Gemara continues. Yosef Rav Yonason ben Achinoy. We're at the very beginning of the Gemara. So Rav Yonason ben Achinoy is sitting. Rav Yonason ben Elozar, another Rav Yonason, is there. V'Yosef Rabbi Chanino bar Chamo Gabayo. And Rabbi Chanino is seated with them. The Komibayo, who the question was asked of them, Shlochin Shabala Bayestanan, Avol Shel Uman Kivan de Kopid Olayu Lomitatalinan. Our Mishnah said you can use skins for Hatmona and you can move them. So are we saying that you can move skins if you're dealing with regular, let's say, homeowner skins as opposed to a professional tanner? Those are the skins you can move, but Shel Uman, a skins that are in the possession of a professional tanner, since he is makbid on them, he doesn't want them to get ruined. This is his livelihood. He tans the skins and sells them. So he's makbid on them. He is concerned and restrictive about what one can do with them. So lo mitaltalinu, you can't move them around on Shabbos. They're muktze. Oy Dilma, or possibly Shel Uman Tanan V'Kol Shekein Shel Baal Habayis. Or when the Mishnah says you can metaltel the Oros, we're talking, in fact, about the tanner's skins, and all the more so if it's a commoner, non-professional. So that is the question. Which skins is the Mishnah giving license to moving? Amar Lahu Rabbi Yonason ben Elozar, Mistabra Shel Baal Habayis Tanan. Most likely the commoner's skins, Aval Shel Uman Kopid Olayu. But the skins that are owned by an Uman, the professional tanner, he is restrictive, and hence they would be muktze. He wouldn't want them to get ruined by someone using them for any old purpose. Amar Lahu Rabbi Chanino Bar Chamo. So Rabbi Chanino was sitting in their presence, and he says, Kach omar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Thusly says Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Abo, now Abo is Rabbi Yossi, Shalcha Havi, he was a professional tanner. The Omar Haviu Shochin V'Neshev Alein. And he said, well, bring in the skins and let us sit on them. So you can see here you have an example of a professional tanner, and he was not makbid on them. Mesfei. Now, we're going to be using a trapezoid shape in order to keep track of the give and take of the Gemara over the next number of lines, with the narrow part facing upwards. This will represent an opinion that says ein metaltalin. When you see the shape, this trapezoid flipped over, it will represent the direction of saying metaltalin. This we have explained under our mivne heading in the outside margin. So the Gemara presents a question. This is a question on the story represented by Reb Chanina bar Chama, who's quoting Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi, saying that it would be allowed because they're not makbid on it. Well, here, what do you do about the following source? Nisorin shel balabayas. These are boards owned by a commoner. Metaflin osan. Shel uman, a professional builder. So ein metaflin osan. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. V'imchishev losis alein pas lorchin. If you planned, intended to use it as some type of serving board for giving bread to guests. Benkach u'benkach metaltalin. Then, even if it's boards belonging to an uman, they could be moved on Shabbos because you designated them for a mutter, a heter purpose. But what we've dashed underlined is really why this source is being brought in. It said shel uman ein metaltalin. So, wouldn't the same apply to the skins belonging to an uman? The Gemara says no. Shiny nesarim the kapar alayu. Nesarim are different. Nesarim, these boards, he's very concerned that they don't get warped. They can get easily ruined, we'll say. And therefore, on that we can say kapar alayu. But as far as skins are concerned, we have a story that the professional said, bring out the skins so that we can sit on them. Toshma. Now we've inverted the shape to the narrow part facing downwards. This will be in the direction of trying to show that they are allowed to be moved. Just by way of the structure of the Gemara, we're using this shape to try to show the give and take style of the Gemara. So we opened up on the second line from the top, trying to show the direction of ein metaltalin. Then the Gemara said, well, shiny nesarim, the shape was flipped over, say that nesarim are different. But with regard to skins, even if they are of an uman, you would be allowed. But here, at the starting point of this toshma, we want to show in the direction of that you are allowed. Toshma, oros bein avudim bein she'ein avudim, muter l'taltalin b'shabbos. Skins, whether they've been avudim, are tanned, or they're still raw, so they're mutter for being moved on Shabbos. Lo omru avudin, elo le'inyin tumo bilvad. A distinction between tanned and raw has relevance only with regard to kabolas tuma. A raw skin won't mekabel tuma, but a tanned skin will be subject to Kabbalah's Tuma. Now, in learning this source, it said, Mutter l'tautalon b'Shabbos. So, my lav, lo shno shel balabayis, v'lo shno shel uman. It doesn't matter. You can move skins of everybody, even an uman, would be mutter to l'tautal b'Shabbos. So this, as we with the trapezoid inverted that we saw till now, this is in the direction of saying metaltalin. Here, the trapezoid has narrow part facing upwards. Lo, shel balabayis. the source that says Bein Avudim Eshevim Mutar L'Talmid Shabbos is talking about a commoner's skins. Avol Shel Uman Mai. What about a professional's? Ein Metaltalin. So as the last time we saw the geometric form, the narrow part was facing upwards. So you can see we were trying to go in the direction of Ein Metaltalin. The Gemara, here you see that the shape is inverted with the narrow part facing down, because the direction the Gemara is going to take here is trying to show that yes, Metaltalin. So the Gemara says, E Hochi, if what was said is true, that Shel Balabayas is the one that we say you can move, but in Uman you cannot, then Ha Ditani, that which the source went on to say, Velo Omru, and you can see this is a quote from what we saw just a couple lines up, with a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to help you find where this is a quote from. It said, "Velo omru avudin elo le'inyan tuma bilvad." The source mentioned avudim only with regard to kabbalas tuma, namely only if they're avudim, if they're tanned, are they mekabel tuma? If not, they're not mekabel tuma. However, if, as you answered before, that there's a distinction between Balabayas and Uman, so Liflo Velisni Bididah, why not make distinctions within the realm of Tiltal and not going to a different realm, namely the realm of Tuma, in which we show a distinction between Avudim and Ein Avudim? Why not stay within the realm of Tiltal? And we can make the distinction that if it's skins of a Balabayas, you can always move them, and if it's skins of an Uman, you cannot. Now, since this, and so let's go on actually and read how the distinction would have been stated. Bamed v'mumurim, when do we say that you can metaltel skins? The Tanaic source had said, Oros bein avudim bein shein avudim, mutar l'taltalin b'shabbos. So it would have continued reading, when is that? That even avudim you can metaltal b'shabbos, b'shel balabayas, avol b'shel uman lo. But if it's avudim of an uman, you wouldn't be allowed to metaltal, because he's makbid on it. Now, why didn't the source make this distinction? So apparently it couldn't have made that distinction, because not only does the Balabayas skins represent permissibility, so too the Uman's skins represent permissibility. The Gemara says no. And here the trapezoid has the narrow part facing up, because this is in defense of the position of Ein Metaltalin. Kula bebalabayas komairi. This source isn't interested in telling us anything about skins of an Uman. So it could be that, in fact, the Uman's skins are forbidden. However, the source is interested in showing us a distinction within the realm of Balabayas. And in order to show a distinction, you can't do it in the realm of Metaltalin, of moving skins. We have to go to the realm of Tuma. That's Kula B'Balabayas Kumairi. The whole source is focusing on Balabayas. At this point, Gemara says, Kitanoi, the issue is a machlokis tanoim, Orosh Balabayas Metaltalin Osan, Vishal Umon Ein Metaltalin Osan, Rabbi Yossi Omer Echodze, the Echodze Metaltalin Osan. Whereas the Tanakhama says, Shal Umon Ein Metaltalin, Rabbi Yossi says, whether it's a Balabayas or an Uman, you are allowed to metaltail it. Hodur Yasvi Vukami Bailu, the same group of Rabbonim, we saw the two Rabbi Yonasans and Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama were seated, and another question was put to them. Before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nusei Mivneh heading, and you can see we have a double underline that's going to appear in the Gemara, and it accompanies the question of Lamites Melachos Shabbos Keneged Mi, the 39 forbidden activities on Shabbos are in honor of what? Number one, one possibly is Keneged Avodas HaMishkan, that there were 39 Avodos, 39 constructive activities in the setting up of the Mishkan. And number two, it could be that the 39 Ovos Melochos are in honor of Melocha, Melachto, Umeleches, Shemofia, Lamites Pomim. These words appear 39 times in the Torah. So in honor of the word Melocha and its variations appearing 39 times in the Torah, we understand that there are 39 Avos Melochos. The Gemara. Now we read the Gemara. Hodr Yasvi Kamelu, the same group of Rabbanim were seated, and the question was asked of them. Hodisnan, Avos Melochos Arboim Chosarachas, that which the Mishnah says on Daf Ayin Gimel, there are 40 minus 1, which means 39 Ovos Melochos, primary Shabbos activities that are forbidden. Keneged Mi, in honor of whom is this number 39? Amalu Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, Keneged Avodos HaMishkan. It's in honor of the 39 constructive activities needed for setting up the Mishkan, and whatever was present in the setting up the Mishkan would be something that, if done on Shabbos, would be prohibited. Amar lehu Rabbi Yonasan ben Rabbi Lozor, kach amar Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya, keneged melocha melachto umeleches shebatorah arboim chosarachas. The 39 Ovos Melochos are in honor of the appearance of these words 39 times. Boy, Rav Yosef, Vayavo habay salasos melachto miminyonahu oiloi. Rav Yosef asks, what about this word, melachto, in the posuk involving Yosef coming to the house of Potiphar? And it says he came to the house, la'asos melachto. Is that one of the numbers? Is that one of the 39 or not? Amar le Abaye. Abaye asks, or responds to Rav Yosef's question, and says, why do you have to ask the question even? V'leisi sefer Torah v'limni. Why not bring a sefer Torah and let us count the melacha words? Mi lo amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rav Yochanan. Is it not so that Rabba once said, "Lo zozu misham ad sheheviu sefer Torah umanum"? That they, on a different occasion, and Rashi tells you what the different occasion may have been, but the main point for us is that was a method of attempting to resolve a doubt. That it says they didn't move from there until they brought a sefer and counted whatever they had to count. So why? Abaye is asking Rav Yosef, why do you even have a doubt about it? Amarle, so Rav Yosef explains what his doubt is. Kiko misafkali, my suffix is based on the following. And there's the Gemara gives you two sides of a question. Mishum dichtiv amlochoy sedayim miminyonahu. There's still another pasuk. Amlochoy sedayim, is that one of the 39 in the counting of the Melacha words? And as far as the pasuk concerning Yosef, it has nothing to do with constructive activity. Kemand Yomar, it would be learned like the opinion in Masechet Sota that says Lasa Tzrochav Nichnas, he entered the house to engage in intimacy with the Ashes Potiphar. Before we go any further, Rav Yosef is explaining what his doubt is. He knows that there are 39 times that the word melacha and its variations appear. However, we've got these psukim, we'll say these two psukim, Vayavo Habay Salasus Melachto by Yosef, and the posuk Vahois Vamlochoi Sadayam. Now, if you're going to count both in the list, you're going to come out with 40 times that the word melacha appears. So one of these two is not included in the list. And the question is, which one do we exclude? And so the way the question is posed in an Aleph O Dilma Beis fashion, the first side is to suggest that the Pasuk in Shmos Lamed Vav Amlochoy Sadayim, which is a Pasuk in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, that might be one of the 39, and the term Vamalocha means the activities, the constructive activities they did in a proper quantity. And as far as the Yosef Pasuk, the word Malocha there doesn't mean actual constructive activities or what we call work, but rather it is the word Vayovo Habayis Lasas Malachto, the word Malachto might be termed a euphemism referring to intimacy. Oy Dilma Vayovo Habayis Lasas Malachto Miminyonahu, or the Pasuk with Yosef means he came to the house to do his work. If you learn the Pasuk like that, then Miminyonahu, that would be the one of the 39. V'hai v'amlochoy sadayom. And as far as that pasuk is concerned, hochi ko'amar, it means it would be understood thusly, d'sholem le avidita, that the donations that they were requested to bring reached the full amount, and they don't need to bring any more. V'amlochoy sadayim, we mean the melacha of bringing, but it's not a real constructive activity. So the doubt that Rav Yosef has remains unresolved. Do you which one of these two melacha words are counted along with the other melachas, which means constructive activities? And which one is to be excluded? So that remains unresolved. Tanyo kemando amar keneged avodos hamishkan. We have a Tanaic source that supports the opinion that we saw above. We had a double underline and called it number one. That's the keneged avodos hamishkan. To make it even easier to find what we are referring to. So you have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the star above. So we have a Tanaic source supporting that the number 39 is in honor of the Avodas HaMishkan, the number of constructive activities that were done in the Mishkan. Desanya. The source says, Ein chayoven elo al-mlocha shi'etz shekayotzi bo ha'isav ha'mishkan. One is not considered in Torah violation of Shabbos precepts unless he did a melacha, he did a constructive activity similar to that which was in the Mishkan. Examples, Heim zoru v'atem lo tizru. They planted in order to prepare the plants that they would use for dyes. So we are commanded, don't plant. Heim kotsru, they harvested, v'atem lo tiksru. And we are instructed not to harvest. Heim helu es hakrosh mikarku la'gola. They, taking apart the Mishkan, so they raised beams from the ground and put them on the carts. The ground in the Midbar had a status of Rishus HaRabim. So we learn from that, V'atem lo tachnisu mirishus harabim lirishus hayochid. The Agola had the status of a private domain, a Rishus HaYochid. So in the Mishkan operations, they were picking up of beams from the Rishus HaRabim and placing them on the carts, which is Rishus HaYochid. Additionally, Haim Horidu Esakroshim Me'agola Lakarka, and they wanted to reassemble the Mishkan, so they would take the Kroshim, the beams, or the boards from the Agola, from the cart, and put them on the ground. The ground, once again, to remind ourselves, is Rishus Arabim, and the cart is Rishus HaYochid. So going from the cart to the ground is going, in effect, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Arabim. So we're instructed, Vatem lo totziu Rishus HaYochid, Rishus Arabim. We're instructed not to transfer the position or the location of an item from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Arabim. Heim hotziu me'agola agola. They carry things from one cart to another. Vatem lo totziu Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid. And therefore we're instructed not to go, not to transfer stuff from one private domain to another private domain. Well, what's wrong with that? Mirushus Hayol Shus Hayochid, my COVID. The Gemara asks on this last point, what violation is there in, let's say you have an apartment and it opens to an enclosed courtyard. What Isser Shabbos is there in going from your apartment to a enclosed courtyard? So what is meant in this source? Abayv Rova V'Ami Trevayu V'Temo Rav Adar Bar Ava. Some say Rav Abay and Rava said, or some say Rav Adar said, Mirshus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't mean, like we just said, going from an apartment to a courtyard, but it means going from one private domain and another area. There's a Rishus HaRabim that is next to this private domain, and then beyond a ways there's another private domain. So what one is not allowed to do is to go from a private domain to another private domain with a Rishus HaRabim in the middle. There's a malacha known as moishit, which means, let's imagine you have two balconies, and on the ground below is a public thoroughfare. So the malacha of moishit says you cannot hand something from one balcony to another balcony further along the road, because that's what they in fact did in the midbar. They would hand beams from one cart to another cart. So between each cart there was ground, there was Rishus HaRabim ground. And hence that being an activity done in the Mishkan, one is not allowed to do that on Shabbos. The Gemara continues, Begizei Tzemer V'ein Metaltalin. You can insulate your pots with wool shearings, but you can't move them. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a Nosea topic heading with a structural note, and we feature the triangle, which is the shape we use in this sugya. And we've written Mosai Gizei Tzemer Mutorin Betiltol. When can it be said that the wool shearings are allowed to be moved on Shabbos? The Mishnah says Gizei Tzemer you can use for Hatmona, but you can't move them around. So before we go too much further in the Gemara, let's just note that there's a 1 and Aleph next to the Gemara text, the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. That means that this is the first, the Aleph means first version of Rava, but it will be changed at the top of Daf Nun Omer Aleph, where Rava will be assigned a triangle, but will be called Beis. Later, though, we'll see Ravina's approach, and he's also in a triangle, and he's a second approach. So right now, the issue is, one is allowed to use wool shearings for insulation, but the Mishnah says, Ein metatalin. But you can't move them around on Shabbos. Omar Rava, lo shanu elo shelo toman bohen. The restriction in moving them is only if you didn't use them for pot insulation, for hatmona. But if you actually use the wool shearings for hatmana, when you're finished with your pot, you can move the wool shearings. Esfei Ahum Rabbonan Bar Yomei Lerova. There was a student who that day came to the base medrash. With his good luck, he already had a question on the first day in the base medrash. That's the Bar Yomei, means that day. So he, this student or scholar who came that day to the base medrash presented a problem, and he presented it to Rava. The source says, "Taimin begizay tzemer v'ein metalfalin osan." Well, the Mishnah would seem to be saying that here you're using it for hatmana, but still you can't metaltel the gizay tzemer. Rava just got finished saying that according to the Mishnah, the restriction is if you did not use it, but if you used it, you are allowed to metaltel, to move them around on Shabbos. Well, so the question is seen in this source. Let's read it from the beginning again. Toimin begizay tzemer. The ain metaphalin osan, ketzad hu oseh, so what should he do? The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Amar Aleph, notilas akisui vehein noflos. You pick up the pot's cover and the insulation material falls by the wayside. What we see from this is that the gizei tzemer that he used for hatmana are themselves usher to move around. So, Rava, in his opening comment, said that the gizei tzemer are forbidden only if you didn't use them for hatmana. From here, we see you did use them for hatmana, and still they're usher to directly move around with taltel. Elo iitmar hochi itmar. We have to then revise the comment of Rava. Lo shano elo shelo yichadon lahatmona. The mission that says ein metapolin, that's true if he didn't designate the gizei tzemer for permanent hatmona use. Let's read that again. Lo shano elo shelo yichadon lahatmona. The restriction of the Mishnah, you can't metapolin the gizei tzemer, is only if he didn't designate them as a permanent hatmona material. Avol yichadon lahatmona, but if he designated the gizei tzemer for permanent hatmona use, metaphalin osan, then you can move them around. Itmar nami, he also rovin omar biyankiv, omar avasi ben shol, omar revi, lo shanu elo shelo yichadon lahatmona. The Mishnah restriction of not moving the gizei tzemer is if he didn't designate them for permanent hatmona use. Avu yichadan hatmona metalvan son. But if you designated them for permanent hatmona use, you can metaltel them. Ravina Omar, b'shel heftik shanu. Heftik is an area that you store things for sale. Rashi at the second line from the top says, Ravina Omer, Li'olam kidekoma Rava. Ravina wants us to go back to the original Rava that said, Im toman bohen mutur l'taltel, that if you use them for hatmona, you can move them around. The kemad yichadan l'hochidamu. The fact that you used it for hatmona is as if you designated it for hatmona. So, at the Mishnah that says that you cannot move around gizei tzemer, that's referring to something else. That's b'shel heftik shanu. That's referring to gizei tzemer, wool shearings that you have in storage for sale. Tanyo nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Gizei tzemer shel heftik ein metaltel osan. The wool shearings that you have in storage for sale, that you're not allowed to move around on Shabbos. Vim hiskinon balabayas l'shtamish bohen metalosan. However, if he designated them for other use, then they are allowed to be moved around on Shabbos. So as far as Ravina is concerned, the original Rava can be maintained, and that is that if you even by using the Gizei Tzemer, that is tantamount to them being designated for Hatmona purposes, and you can move them around. The Mishnah that says Ein Metaplin is referring to Gizei Tzemer that you have in storage for sale. That's in the Heftik. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.